We need you now. One generous Marketplace fan, Dr. Joe Rush from Florida, is offering to match the next $50,000 in donations to Marketplace. And every single gift gets us closer to a critically important May fundraising goal. Give right now and double your impact thanks to this generous match. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
So, what was Elon Musk doing meeting with Chinese leaders? Let's find out. Good morning, Leanna Byrne here, and thank you for tuning in to the Marketplace Morning Report. And we're live from the BBC World Service. Yes, the boss of Tesla, Elon Musk, made a surprise visit to China. We've got the BBC's Mariko Oi in Singapore on this story. Hi, Mariko.
Hi.
So, Mariko, what was this unannounced visit all about?
That's a good question, really. It was totally unannounced, a completely surprising visit to China. And yesterday he met Chinese Premier Li Qiang, and, you know, they talked about foreign investments and so on. Now, today we were starting to get some more kind of concrete news flash, but we don't have any confirmation just yet. But according to reports, Tesla, his EV company, may have agreed to partner up with China's massive internet giant Baidu, basically using its mapping service, because according to reports, Mr. Musk is there to basically push for his full self-driving software in China, basically autonomous driving service on his Tesla EVs in China. And if this partnership is indeed confirmed, it could mean that Tesla has just jumped the final hurdle to get the regulatory approval. But again, no confirmation. So, you know, we'll see when he decides to post on X to tell us what that trip was about.
Hypothetically, if there was confirmation, does that mean that we could see self-driving in China quicker than in other areas of the world?
I don't think anyone knows the answer yet, but I think from Mr. Musk's point of view, EV sales in the United States have been falling, and it's been quite dreadful several months for Tesla, you know, deliveries down, profits down and so on. And of course, China is the biggest car market of the world. Of course, it does face a lot of intense competition from Chinese rivals like BYD, NIO, and even smartphone maker Xiaomi just jumped into the market. So it's not a smooth sailing there either. But at least by having that kind of access to the Chinese market and being able to offer that kind of service, it is definitely a great step in the right direction.
Exactly. And I guess that footprint, is it so important to Elon Musk that despite the fact that the US and China don't seem to be getting on trade-wise, that it's important for him to have that foothold in the Chinese market?
I mean, he has always been not so critical of China. You know, it's been really fascinating to see reaction on social media when he posted basically a screen grab of his meeting with Premier Li. And a lot of people were saying, oh, you know, aren't you supposed to champion, you know, free press, freedom of speech? And, you know, what about China's record of censorship and human rights record and so on? Other interesting reaction I thought was many people from India weren't too pleased with it. Because if you remember, Mr. Musk has recently postponed his visit to India, citing very important missions with Tesla. So, you know, people saying, oh, so you were too busy to come to India, but you're okay to go to China kind of stuff. So there's a lot of interesting reaction there. But I guess, you know, firstly, I think it's fair to say that Mr. Musk will probably go to India eventually. And I guess if you get a phone call from, you know, Chinese Premier, you wouldn't really say no, especially when it is such a huge market that is really, really important for Tesla.
Of course, yes. Well, listen, Mariko Oi, thank you so much for joining us on Marketplace.
Thank you.
Now let's do the numbers. The talk that Japan might have stepped in to help its currency, the yen, strengthen to 155 against the dollar after a 34-year low, and the struggling UK music rights owner Hypnosis Songs Fund agreed to a $1.6 billion takeover from US private equity firm Blackstone, which beat a rival bid from Concord. Now let's talk about a scam story in Sweden, because police there have received hundreds of reports from people who've been cheated out of their gold by fraudsters who posed as a company offering to buy jewellery and watches but never paid them. The BBC's Stephanie Zacherson has more.
One day, a flyer from a company buying and valuing gold arrived in 77-year-old Tone Lindblad's mailbox. She had been thinking about getting rid of some jewellery that was just collecting dust to top up her pension payments. The company seemed legitimate, and it was hosting a meeting with potential customers at a well-known hotel in town, so Tone sold them two gold watches, one of which had been a gift in her teens, for the equivalent of $1,100. But she told Swedish radio that the money never arrived in her bank account.
You do want to have faith in people. But by the following week, I still hadn't received my payment. And then I thought, oh no, I think I've been scammed.
Tone decided to report the fraud, and she is not the only one. Swedish police have been contacted by more than 200 people, giving similar descriptions of how they've been duped. So far, the gang behind the scam has travelled to several counties and cities in the south of Sweden. Local media is filled with different stories of Ingvar, who sold his beloved coin collection, Rebecca, who sold her mum's set of silver spoons, and the hotel managers who were never paid for the conference rooms the fraudsters used to conduct their scam. Pawn shop owner Hans Hansson wasn't surprised that so many seemed to have been tricked. With gold prices having surged in the last year, combined with high living costs, many of his customers are trying to find new ways to make ends meet.
Many are struggling with dental costs, food, electricity bills, basically everything. It's been a very hard time for a lot of people.
So far, one man has been arrested in connection with the scam. Police are now trawling through hours of CCTV footage from the hotels, collecting evidence that they hope will lead them to the rest of the perpetrators.
Stephanie Zacherson reporting. Right, you know how music often includes the sounds of nature, like the Beatles song Blackbird, where you can hear birds chirping? Well, now artists who use these recordings will be able to split their profits with SoundsRight, which funds environmental causes. The BBC's Mark Savage has more.
I'm scared to touch, too tense to be undone.
It's an unusual duet.
I've walked the streets.
David Bowie singing with wild pigs, bees and hyenas.
Against a voice of doom.
His co-writer Brian Eno has remixed the track as part of an environmental campaign.
I feel I should get real.
This project is a way of saying to artists, look, we all use the sounds of nature a lot in what we do. Sounds like seagulls and waves and wind, and why don't we pay nature a royalty for that and then redirect that money towards people who are helping save the world, actually save the planet.
Backed by the United Nations, the project will also see ambient sounds from the rainforest and the ocean monetized on streaming services. But music is the key.
What I think music can do is to give you feelings. And if you can say to people, can you imagine a better world? Here's what it would sound like. That gives people a set of feelings about how life could be, how else things could be.
Artists who have contributed to the first wave of releases include Ellie Goulding, London Grammar, and the Norwegian pop star Aurora, who's mixed the sound of her homeland's forests into the song A Soul With No King.
The beautiful thing about art and artists is that we do manage to speak to people in a way that doesn't feel like being preached to and has a very good chance of making nature and contact with nature seem desirable again. Like a mother and a homeless.
That report from Mark Savage. And finally, a 101-year-old woman keeps getting mistaken for a baby by American Airlines because of a glitch in their system, which can't recognise her birth year is 1922, changing it instead to 2022. I'm Leanna Byrne with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.